The significance of the voice of God. How many of you know that or believe that God still speaks to those that hear Him? It's possible, though, for us not to hear the voice of God or to even be listening to the wrong voice. And I want to share a little story with you from the Word of God. 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And 1 Kings, the 27th chapter, from verse 1 all the way through verse 28, is the story of a little-known prophet. His ministry took place during the reign of Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat. Everybody say Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and Ahab was king of Israel. And there was a prophet during this time by the name of Micaiah. And I want to know how many of you, and I don't mean Micah, I mean Micaiah. It's a different prophet. How many of you prior to today could say you can remember ever hearing about Micaiah? Anybody ever heard about Micaiah? Micaiah has very little press, so to speak, because Micaiah was unfortunate enough, I guess you could say that. He wouldn't have viewed it that way. But Micaiah happened to be a prophet during the same time as Elijah. And of course, Elijah gets all the press. And everybody knows in church, everybody learns in Sunday school about Elijah. Not very many people know about Micaiah. But basically what happened, two kings, Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And they decided to join together and go and fight the Syrians. They said, these guys are mistreating us, and so we're going to band our forces together. We're going to go fight. And so when they decided to join together and go to fight, Jehoshaphat was basically a good king and a godly man. Everybody say, Jehoshaphat was good. But Ahab was largely bad. Everybody say, Ahab was bad. So when Ahab comes along and Ahab says, Jehoshaphat, I need you to join forces with me and go fight the Syrians. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, being a godly king, said, I think we ought to talk to the prophet. I think we ought to hear from the Lord. I really don't think it would be a good idea for us to go running out, go to battle until we talk to a prophet of God. So look at verse 5 in your reading. It says, and King Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, that was Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. In other words, Jehoshaphat said, let's consult with a prophet before we go. Verse 6, then the king of Israel, that's Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Everybody say 400. There were 400 so-called prophets, and said unto them, shall I go to battle or shall I forbear? And that forbear means, shall I not go? Or shall I refrain from going? And they said, that's the 400 prophets, they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Interesting in this story that I don't have in your text, but one of the prophets even got all dramatic. The Bible said he got two horns of iron, and he pushed with the horns of iron, and he said, this is how you're going to push the king of Syria. But Jehoshaphat was not impressed by this. But even though the 400 assured him that God was with them, I do think that it's interesting that just a few years earlier, when Elijah called down fire from heaven, how many of you remember hearing about that story? Do you remember what happened when they tried to find real prophets of God? Elijah said, I'm the only one left. Now we've got just a few years later, and suddenly it's fashionable to be a prophet of God, because now they had no trouble finding 400 of them. When Elijah was by himself, he said, I'm the only one. But now everybody wanted to be a preacher. Now everybody wanted to be the next Elijah. Everybody's claiming to be a prophet. But how many of you know that just calling yourself a prophet doesn't make you a prophet? Calling yourself a preacher doesn't make you a preacher. And I'll add to that, going to college to be a preacher doesn't make you a preacher. Calling, and I've got nothing against going to college. I believe we should educate ourselves the best we can. But calling yourself a prophet or an apostle or a preacher doesn't make you one of those things. And so when these 400 prophets come to Ahab and Jehoshaphat and they say, go, God's going to give it in your hand. He's going to deliver the Syrians to you. Something just doesn't sit right with Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, look at what Jehoshaphat said. 400, there were 400 of them. Before I say that, let me say this. There were 400 so-called prophets and not one of them sounded right. Jehoshaphat had a close enough relationship with God that he smelled something fishy. It's like old Sister Bunch used to say, little lady I used to do house church meetings with. She'd talk about people speaking in tongues, and I believe in speaking in tongues. But she was talking about people that was speaking in tongues through their own labor and through their own carnality, and she'd said it just didn't have that Jerusalem ring to it. There was something fishy about it. And it, you know, it would have been easy for Jehoshaphat to follow the rule of safety in numbers and just say, all of the preachers are saying this. All of the churches are preaching this. All of the preachers are preaching this. But Jehoshaphat knew better. And so look at what he said in verse 7. Jehoshaphat the king said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? In other words, Jehoshaphat said, can I get a 401st opinion? I've got 400 of them, and I don't like any of them. Can I get one more? And verse 8 says, and the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I hate him because he don't preach what I want to hear. Wah, wah, wah. By the way, I preached a sermon entitled that one time. Wah, wah, wah. But we're finding out now why Micaiah was not invited on TBN. We're finding out why Micaiah was not invited to preach at the mega churches. Ahab said, I hate him. He's always preaching negative things. He never preaches a feel-good message. He won't ever just let me shout all night. He won't just let me dance all night. He's always talking about righteousness and judgment and repentance. But Jehoshaphat convinced Ahab to call him anyway. He said, well, let's hear what he's got to say. Verse 13 says, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. In other words, the messenger said, look, Micaiah, if you really want to, you know, if you don't want to hurt yourself, why don't you just tell him what he wants to hear? Everybody else says this is the right way. Everybody else has prophesied, go up to war. Just tell the man what he wants to hear. And you know what Micaiah said? The prophet said, "Just can't you just go along to get along? Can't you just prophesy good things?" And Micaiah said in verse 14, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to battle, or shall we forbear? In other words, not go. He answered him, go, prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. A little problem here, though. The king knew that Micaiah was being sarcastic. Micaiah must have had he probably was rolling his eyes while he said it. Go. That's what you want to hear? Go. I felt like preaching that way sometimes. Sometimes I've gotten the pulpit and preached to people and just felt like preaching, this is what you want to hear? Okay, I'll preach what you want to hear. Sort of like the story Billy Cole told about the family that came to him that asked for direction. They were thinking about moving out of town. And he's sitting in his office, and they sat down and they said, Pastor Cole, we need to know if it's God's will for us to move or not. And he looked out the window, and they had a big U-Haul sitting out in the parking lot. They had already made up their minds, Sister Naira, what they were going to do. They just wanted him to come put a stamp of approval on it. You see what I'm saying? And so Anyway, the king picked up on Micaiah's sarcasm, and it says, the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? In other words, he said, I can tell you're just mocking me. And then Micaiah came out with the truth, verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord says, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. Micaiah, in other words, said, you better go home before you get hurt. You better go home before you get hurt. And the king of Israel, verse 18, said unto Jehoshaphat, look, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Ahab said, I told you so. This man's always preaching bad stuff to me. He never preaches what I want to hear. But Micaiah isn't finished. He's just getting warmed up now. He says in verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead, that's in Syria? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, wherewith or how? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. That took some guts. Micah said, all 400 of them are lying to you. Every last one of them. And a matter of fact, if you read it, I didn't have it in here in the interest of time, but one of the prophets was so insulted that he came up and slapped Micah in the face. He said, if you're such a prophet, then tell me how the Lord, what spirit told me to slap you across the face. But Micah, how did Ahab respond to this preaching? In other words, he even said that he's going to fall. He said, Micah said to Ahab, Micaiah, he said, you're going to fall. You're going to die in battle. Verse 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. The rest of the story is that Ahab did go to battle. He did ignore what Micaiah said. Micaiah said, if you come back, then I'm not a prophet. And Ahab took the word of 400 false prophets. He went to battle, and he did die in that battle, just like Micaiah prophesied he would. Understand this, folks. 400 prophets were wrong. One prophet was right. 400 prophets could not separate the voice of God from a lying spirit. One prophet knew the difference. What a blessing it is for us to be able to hear and to recognize the voice of God. Some people can hear and some can't. Some are sensitive and some are not. Samuel the child could hear, but Eli the high priest could not. It's not a function of your intelligence. It's not about your social standing. It's not about your education. Some of the most sensitive people to the voice of God that I have ever known are people who had very little formal education. When some theologians with PhDs behind their names cannot hear the voice of God. How does somebody get that ability? God gives that ability to hear him to those who really want to hear him. He gives it to those who listen. We sing a song that says, when my Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Let me tell you, folks, something. When I go out for prayer and I'm walking and I'm talking to the Lord, you know what I'm doing? I am doing as much listening as I am talking. And as I walk through the woods or wherever I'm walking on a walking track and I'm talking to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, I've got this church that needs to hear a word from you. And I need to hear a word from you so that I can deliver that to them. I need you to talk to me. And you know what, Sister Gray? It's not every day. It's not all the time. It's not every minute of every day. But one thing I have learned is this, that more often than not, while I'm walking, God starts talking. And I can guarantee you this, if I wasn't in a place where He could speak, if I wasn't listening, if I wasn't asking Him to speak to me, He's not going to speak, and I'm not going to learn what His voice sounds like. There are millions of people that are hungry for God, but they don't recognize His voice. Look at John 10:2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Everybody say, they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Did you know that sheep can recognize when their shepherd is talking? And they know the difference between his voice and the voice of a stranger. And there are people that are searching today, but they can't find what they seek. They seek it in the bar rooms. They seek it in false religions. They seek it in New Age philosophy. They seek it in money, and they seek it in power, but they can't find it. Look at John 18:37, what Jesus said. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus said, this is why I was born. Everyone that is of the truth, let's say that together. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Say it again. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In other words, if you really want to know, if you really want to hear, Jesus said, if you will seek after the truth, you will hear my voice. You know, even at his lowest, I mentioned Elijah earlier today, but even at his lowest, he knew what the voice of God sounded like. He was in a bad place. Look at 1 Kings 19:11, and it says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. He was in a cave. He was at a low, depressing point in his life. He was on the run. People were trying to kill him. But three dramatic forces of nature did not move Elijah. A strong wind didn't get him out of the cave. An earthquake didn't move him out of the cave. A fire didn't move him out of the cave. But that still, small voice caused him to get up and go to the cave entrance and listen just a little bit closer. You know why he got up and he went to the entrance of the cave? Because he had been a prophet long enough to know what I hear sounds like the voice of the shepherd. And I'm going to get up and go and listen to what he's got to say. You see, one of the problems is that there are too many people that are seeking drama. They want to experience God in an earthquake or in a wind or in a fire. And sometimes God is pecking away at us in a still small voice. And he says, I've been here all along, but you've been listening in the wrong places. You've been running after an earthquake. You want drama. You want a fire. You want a wind. And God says, I'm speaking. And if you'll just pay attention, if you'll just seek after me a little bit, you'll be able to tell the difference between an earthquake and my voice. You'll be able to tell the difference between a strong wind and my voice. You'll be able to tell the difference between a fire and my voice. Elijah had his faults, but he knew the difference. He knew the difference between a show and a put-on. Versus the real moving of the Holy Ghost. You see, there are a lot of churches that dance, but God is not always in the dance. There's a lot of churches that run, but God is not always in the run. Sometimes it's in that still, small voice. Look at John 10:26-27. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise God. Praise God. And there's one that I wanted to add to that. I meant to include it in here. It's not in your listing. But there was another man who knew what that voice sounded like. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I started thinking, and I don't want the musicians to come just yet, but I'm going to close here in just a second. I started thinking, because one of the things that I've been asked many, many times in my ministry is, how do you know God's voice? But let me answer that this way. What if you were to ask the sheep, describe the voice for me. Identify the voice. How do you know the voice? If a sheep could talk, Sister Naira, he would say, I just do. If I called some of you up on the telephone today and you picked up the phone, some of you might recognize my voice right off the bat. You know why? You've learned what my voice sounds like. But what if they sat you down in a court of law and they said, Brooklyn, describe Mike Crocker's voice to us. What would you say? Can you really? Do you understand? God showed me something about that this week that I'd never really thought about before. I only know, you know what? I thought about it this week. I can still hear her voice. Even though I haven't heard it, not in her normal speech, in 14 years, I've got it locked in here. David, you know what it sounds like. And if you heard it again today, you'd be able to say, even without looking, that's my mom's voice. But if somebody came to me and said, what does it sound like? I'd say, I can't describe it to you. It's just another voice. But I've heard it enough in my life that I know what it sounds like. I know what it sounds like. And so, when Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And somebody says, well, how do I know what his voice sounds like? You have to walk with the shepherd for a little while. And after you walk with the shepherd for a little while, and after you seek the shepherd for a little while, you learn to tell the difference between the shepherd's voice and the voice of lying spirits and the voice of evil and the voice of damnation. Why? Because you've sought him. And I'm convinced with all of my heart that there's not a person in here today that if you don't go before God in humility and in humbleness and say, Lord, I want to hear and know your voice, that he will not start showing it to you. He will do that for everybody in here. Hallelujah. Could we stand today? Hallelujah. My grandmother died. My mom's mom died in 1993, but I can still hear her voice. My grandfather died. What year was it, Dad, that Grandpa died? 84, 85, 1984, I believe it was. My grandfather passed away in 1984, but I can still hear him because I had that voice imprinted on me. Time and time and time again, I had that voice imprinted. I couldn't describe it to anybody else if my life depended on it. Not if my life depended on it. Because to everybody else, it's just the voice of another old man. That's the only way I could say it. Sound like an old man. What does that mean? There are millions of old men in this world. But yet if you put it side by side with a bunch of other old men, I could pick it out. Because I just know. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord right now. Hallelujah. God wants to speak to somebody. God wants to speak to somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love.
My first love.
Like the fire that burns within.
Oh, yes.
Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me first love, like the fire that burns within.
Oh yes,
Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin.
If there's anybody here today, maybe it's been a while since you heard the voice of the shepherd. You need a fresh touch. Why don't you just make your way down here to the front? Let us pray for you. If you want to hear the voice of God in your life and you're needing some direction, some guidance. Hallelujah.
Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Speak to me again.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Cover
all of Jesus.
My guilt.
Speak to him, Lord. Let him hear the shepherd's voice today. Hallelujah. Lord, give him guidance and give him direction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him hear the voice of the shepherd today. Praise God. Give him direction, Lord. Give him understanding today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Cover all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, give him direction for his life, God. Speak to his heart, Lord.
Renew.
Oh, hallelujah. That's it. Come on. Just tell the Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need to know that my shepherd is near. I need to hear your voice. I need to know what it sounds like. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Praise God. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My guilt and my sin.
My guilt and my sin. Yes, Lord. Give us direction. Speak to us. Shepherd, speak to us today. Hallelujah. We want to hear your voice, Lord. Hallelujah. I need that comfort. I need that reassuring sound. I need to hear from you, God. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear from you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear the voice of the shepherd today. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Burns within.
Oh, Calvary,
speak to me again.
Hallelujah.
Calvary.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, Mashut, know my voice. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes.
With me.
And only first
love within
Calvary,
speak to me again.
I need to hear your voice, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
My sin. My first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, sing to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within. Calvary, speak to me again. Calvary, speak to me again. Cover all my guilt and my sin. Renew in me my first love, like a fire that burns within.